is I, Signoriti Tomat, humble bard of Genoa. I fear that you have come upon Genoa at dark times, my little Tomatinos. I fear to tell you that our feudal lord, the evil and cruel Don Arancha, every day he expects more from us, more. And every day we are capable of giving less. And even worse, many people in Genoa, a once thriving and bustling place, are falling ill with a sickness that none of us understand. You're dead in 2 to 3 days. Corpses choke the streets. Ay, Dios mio. If only they had listened. If only they had listened to me when I played my fife and lute and sang about the bountiful harvest over at the Pessimist Productions Patreon. As you see, they could have been feasting on tons and tons of fortifying, bracing content. Something to keep their bodies from succumbing to the evil disease that God has sent to punish the city of Genoa. Ay, Dios mio. And even more to the point, if they did not want to spend a humble 5 shillings per month for 12 hours of bracing content, then they could have gone to a place where no plague could touch them. No disease could mar their bodies. A place called Los Angeles. That's right. On July 21st, at the Mint in Los Angeles, Deep Fat Fried will be hosting a meetup of people who do not have the plague. People who will never get the plague. People who will never suffer as my beautiful Genoa has suffered. Ay, Dios mio. What has happened to her? Please, traveler, go from this blighted place. Go directly to the Pessimist Productions Patreon. Join the feast. Go to LA on July 21st. Escape this horrible fate.
Welcome to the Ghost Cam.
Ghost Cam.
We died of plague, TJ.
I am the only one left.
We've just been haunting you all this time, TJ. We are a figment of your imagination.
The plague claimed crazy our lives. Stuff.
The Paul Zego and Scotty that you knew, TJ, died many years ago of the
dead.
Plague.
Dead. So fucking dead. It's crazy. I can't even believe how dead you guys are. All right.
That's why you see black.
If, let's see if this can
represent the Black Death.
I have a spell that might be able
a spell
to
that might be able
you.
To make us visible.
Maybe. Whoa.
What the fuck, dude?
There
it
we
worked.
Are.
Wow.
Yay. Crazy there we are. Stuff.
Looking better than ever.
Yeah.
Back and
looking
better than
damn
ever.
Damn.
Looking better
fucking
than ever.
Looking good, eh? Looking good over there, eh?
You're looking fucking good, eh?
Speaking of looking good, TJ, that face of yours, huh? I noticed, like, on your channel, you're like, I'm not going to be showing my face, but here, you can't escape.
No escape. No escape on Deep Fat Fried.
Oh, man, my fucking facial hair, man.
It feels so good to just run your
fingers through your beard.
Yes. You know what? I support TJ shaving, though, because it's in because he's doing it to grow back his beard. Like a man should. So until then, we have to make fun of him. He's a manlet. He's a little stubble face.
He could have just trimmed his shit, dude. He didn't have to fucking just take it.
It's a sad day. Sad day for life.
You got the Hitler stash, TJ.
TJ has a proud chin. Two of them, in fact.
Two? I would say there's at least three or four in there, dude.
Damn. What are you talking about? There's this one.
Uh-huh.
This one.
I'd say
what about that one there? Yeah. What
three.
About that guy that's hiding underneath
Uno,
there?
Uno, dos, tres, TJ.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Two. Clearly two. Two chins. That's it.
I am two chin TJ.
Two chin TJ two strikes chin again.
TJ, dude. A fucking page boy TJ, dude.
Everybody's dead inside. Oh, yeah. TJ looks like a female Chris Chan. Okay, cool. Rock on.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Gee shucks, guys.
Gee shucks. Gee willikers.
That's not very nice.
Gentlemen, we're here tonight to talk about the Black Death.
We are?
Yes.
Whoa, dude. I was
sounds kind of racist.
I was told there's gonna be some donuts and some like cake.
There's no donuts and there's no cake, Scotty.
There ain't no donuts. There ain't no cake.
Okay, man.
This is the Black Death. This is not a time for reverie or joy. Look at that picture, Scotty.
Look at our
thumbnail for tonight, Scotty.
Damn,
you
dude.
See?
That's fucking metal, dude.
Do you see the pestilence? Do you see the rider on the pale horse?
Dude, I see Army of Darkness, dude. There's an army of skeletons killing these people and shit, dude.
Hell yeah.
They need fucking Ash to come back and save them. That's what I fucking see.
Oh, yeah.
This is a somber occasion, gentlemen. A somber time in our ancestors' history. And if they thought that we were making light of this time, they would spit in our eyes.
Good thing they're dead.
Good thing they're dead.
Good thing they're dead.
Pish posh.
Well, at least the dogs had a good time.
Yeah, see, they got...
So, TJ.
Yeah.
Can you pull up that picture of Con Johnny Beg for me?
Con Johnny what?
Con Johnny Beg.
All right.
The con, TJ.
Give me a second, then. Didn't know you wanted that already.
What do you mean? I put everything in order, TJ.
No, you didn't, Paul.
Yes, I did, TJ.
No, you didn't.
I'm TJ. I can't shit because I ate too much cheese.
Here you go.
That's your fault. Oh, damn. Look at this dude. Strapping buck.
This is Con Johnny Beg, and our story starts with him tonight. Now, it bears saying that
he's collected
Black Death,
all of the Dragon Balls, too. That's pretty
Look at him. He's got all of them. All
dude,
seven.
He does.
He's got them all, dude. Con Johnny Beg didn't fuck around.
He's about to make a fucking wish, dude.
Now, when we start our story in around 1343, so the 14th century, the plague had already wiped out a significant portion of China, most of East Asia, a lot of the fucking what's now the Middle East, and it already crept into North Africa. It was a huge, huge plague outbreak. But it hadn't yet touched Europe. And that's where we start our story with Con Johnny Beg here. He was a direct, he held the same title that Genghis Khan held. He was the Khan of the Golden Horde. And there was this little port city named Kaffa. It was on the northern shore of the Black Sea.
Was it founded by people like TJ?
Kaffa. Oh, yeah, Kaffa. I get it.
The fucking the TJs of the world, like. Just imagine a village of TJs.
That was the greeting of the people of Kaffa when you. That's how you knew you were.
Sorry,
in Kaffa.
I know it's a terrible joke, but it just reminded me.
No, it was great. So there's this little city, Kaffa. It's a Genoese trading port. So the Italian city-state of Genoa has got this trading port. It's an eastern trading port, and it connects the east with Constantinople. So it's an important place. And Con Johnny Beg in 1343 shows up with the Golden Horde and besieges it. And he holds it for a while, but he's driven off by a group of Italians. An Italian relief force shows up to drive him off, but he's pissed. And a couple of years later, in 1345, he comes back, besieges Kaffa again. This time, he manages to besiege the city for a year.
Jesus.
But then, something starts to happen amongst his troops outside the city. They start to die. from a horrible disease. And of course, this wasn't the first time that Khan, Johnny Beg, and his people had run into this. Like I said, the Black Death had already swept Mongolia and China by this point. But they started to die, and they started to die in numbers where Khan Johnny Beg knew that he wasn't going to be able to hold the city any longer. And so he decided to pull out. But before he did, he sent them a parting gift. He loaded up a bunch of plague bodies in his catapults and launched them into the city. And then left. And in a few days, it was business as usual in Kaffa. A bunch of ships, now free to go on about trade and resupply the city, left the port for Constantinople and Genoa, carrying a bunch of soldiers on it that were infected with the bubonic plague, and possibly some rats that were carrying fleas on them that transferred the bubonic plague. And it was at this point in around 1345 that the plague was first introduced to Europe. At the city of Genoa. Now, that's not really true. There were actually multiple vectors by which the plague entered Europe, but this was one of the biggest ones. This is one of the easiest and most traceable examples of the plague traveling by ship from one place to another. And I've got a map, TJ. If you can blow that up. This map's pretty mind-blowing. For those of you that are listening, it's a map of Eurasia, and it's basically covered in red arrows that are trade routes that were also vectors of the spread of this disease. So it started, you see at the top of the Black Sea there, there's Kaffa. You can see the red arrow going to Constantinople, and then from there through the trade routes to Genoa, Italy. What is the Black Death? So I guess we could move to that next before we start talking. But you can see it did not take long. The Black Death really refers to the first outbreak of this. And it was a seven years. It was from 1346 to 1353. And it decimated. Well, we'll talk about how many people it decimated a little later. But you can see it spread over land. It spread via the ocean. It spread far and wide and quickly. So let's talk about a little bit what it is before we go on. This is a plague doctor. If you go back to that one, TJ, that was kind of cool. These guys were seen in Italy and around in other places during the Black Death. But I have a picture of our villain for tonight, Yersinia pestis. There it is. So bubonic plague, the disease's most common form, refers to telltale buboes. Painfully swollen lymph nodes that appear around the groin.
Ooh.
Arm.
Bubo Baggins.
TJ, I need your help with something, man.
What's up?
I think I got a big old pair of swollen buboes on my groin, and I need you to come over here and feel them.
Oh, shit.
Dude, Paul, can you come squeeze my buboes, TJ?
Another fucking outbreak.
Come squeeze these. Dude, I got two big pendulous buboes hanging off my groin, man.
That's nothing. Pimp Monk has three.
The plague doctor thing is kind of interesting because it's something that's become kind of like ubiquitous with this time period, but you don't really, and it's never kind of explained, but the research I did on it was kind of just like they believed it was like bad air.
I mean, there was a bunch of things that they blamed it on,
but that's why they have the long elongated noses and stuff,
right?
Because they would have like different like herbs and different things in there that would like that, you know, would smell better. Like, oh, it'll keep the stagnant poisonous air out.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, they would stuff those big noses on the plague doctor masks like incense and shit, keep the air like pure. It did nothing for them. A bunch of the people that wore these masks got the plague and died too. But let's read a little bit more about what happens. So you get these buboes, these big old kind of swollen areas on your armpit, neck, or groin.
That's your lymphatic system. So it starts spreading throughout your
body. Right. So that's bubonic plague. Septicemic plague spreads in the bloodstream, comes via fleas or from contact with plague-infected body matter. And pneumonic plague, the most infectious type, is an advanced stage. Basically what happens is the bubo bursts inside of your body and gets into your bloodstream and your internal organs and your lungs, and then it becomes airborne, and it can be carried on droplets of water when you cough. The first stage of bubonic plague So if all of you, if all you had were the buboes, you had about a 50% chance of dying. Yeah, it was a coin flip whether you lived or died at that point. If you got either of the other forms of plague, yeah, septicemic or pneumonic,
bye-bye.
You're dead. Nobody survived those without antibiotics, and this is a time where that hadn't been invented yet. It was a extraordinarily virulent bacteria. Because it's a mutant variety, it was handicapped by not being able to survive outside of the animals it infects and by an inability to penetrate and hide in its host body cells. So to compensate, it basically had to make a bunch of copies of itself. And in order to do that, it had to kill the immune system of its target. And then it was free to just... So the buboes were basically just giant colonies of this bacteria. And at the advanced stage of the disease, people were just covered in spots, either one big one or a bunch of little black spots. And within hours to days of that, they were dead.
Well, hence, I'm assuming that's where the term black death comes from, because these buboes and these spots appear.
Yep.
And then...
So medieval observers and their modern counterparts in the 19th century China and 20th century Vietnam, observing more recent outbreaks, noted that different strains of the disease took from 5 days to as little as half a day to cause death. So you might be symptomatic when you wake up and dead by noon.
Dead by noon.
So TJ, that means you'd be dead by six.
Yep. TJ, you'd be symptomatic by noon when you woke up and dead by six.
Damn.
Victims are so overwhelmed that they're more or less poisoned to death as the bacilli gather in thick clots under the skin where a passing flea or mosquito, I assume, might pick them up. Other grim side effects can include gangrene, erupting pus-filled glands, and lungs that literally dissolve.
Cool.
Oh my god, dude.
The amazing dissolving lung.
This is a fucking metal disease, dude. Like, remember your lungs? They've been dissolved.
I have a couple of pictures, TJ, and some quotes, some contemporary quotes here that I want to read. These are buboes.
Cool.
On the groin of a victim. So here's a contemporary quote about the symptoms and death from the disease. This is from a chronicler named Giovanni Boccaccio. Boccaccio.
Boccaccio.
Boccaccio.
Yeah, Boccaccio.
Boccaccio.
Boccaccio. The symptoms were not the same as in the East, where a gush of blood from the nose was a plain sign of inevitable death. But it began both in men and women with certain swellings in the groin or under the armpit. They grew to the size of a small apple or egg, more or less, and were vulgarly called tumors. In a short space of time, these tumors spread from the two parts named all over the body. Soon after this, symptoms changed and a black or purple spot appeared on the arm or thigh or any other part of the body. Sometimes a few large ones, sometimes many little ones. The spots were a certain sign of death, just as the original tumor had been and still remained. So they're just saying that, like, if you got these, you're pretty much dead.
You're dead.
Another quote from somebody who was actually in Genoa when these first ships arrived. By the way, when those ships that sailed out of Caffa arrived, half of the people on them were dead from the disease. This was from Michele de Piazzi.
Yeah.
A chronicler in 1347 said, there's another picture too if you want to take a look at, this is the fingers of someone with the bubonic plague.
Looks nice.
Cut off their circulation, cut off because of the plague just crowding out their circulatory system,
ravaging the body.
So this guy says the sailors brought in their bones a disease so violent that whoever spoke a word to them was infected and could in no way save himself from death. Those to whom the disease was transmitted by infection of the breath were stricken with pains all over the body and felt a terrible lassitude. Then there appeared on thigh or arm a pustule like a lintel. From this infection penetrated the body and violent bloody vomiting began. It lasted for a period of 3 days and there was no way of preventing its ending in death.
I thought it was interesting too, was in the research I did, during the Black Death, incoming so ships going to Italian ports, incoming ships were forced to wait for 40 days to represent, because obviously, like you said, a big spreader of the disease was ships.
Right.
Was basically a quarantine. So the Italian word for 40, which is, I'm going to butcher this, quarante.
Quarante.
Yeah, quarante. is where we get the word for quarantine.
So once they figured out, and this was actually late in the spread of the plague, that they figured out that it was being transmitted by boat, they did start to try and fight the plague by quarantining ships, keeping them in their dock, and not letting anybody fucking take anything off of them for 40 days. But it was too late by that time. And I guess that's a pretty good place to move on to our next little section here, which is the impact of this. And I guess to do that, we could do a whole fucking show on what it was like for people to live in the medieval ages. But rather than do that, so we can focus on this outbreak, this Black Death.
The Black Death.
I'm sure all of you guys know a little something about, you know, what it was like for the peasantry in the 14th century. I think to sum it up,
of ease and leisure.
Yeah, what?
In fact, even the rich people didn't have it all that good in the Middle Ages. I mean, comparatively, they did. But it was a filthy, dirty, violent, disease-ridden time to live. Most people lived short lives filled with agonizing pain and loss and hunger and deprivation. There was really no social order of the like that we have today. You know, a lot of places didn't have a doctor in them.
The modern political theories, the modern medicine. I mean, like all things we take for granted. Like, oh, I've got an infection, I'll go to a doctor. Oh, we have some understanding of how disease works.
And we saw from that map earlier how quickly this shit spread. Like I said, this first outbreak that we're talking about tonight, and that's all we're really covering. I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about bubonic plague, but this first outbreak lasted 7 years, and in 7 years, it basically decimated Eurasia.
Yeah.
The entirety of Eurasia.
Well, I mean, just think about that in perspective. Like, so imagine 7 years of your life, you're under just constant assailment and threat of this horrible disease that about roughly half the people in your village or town are going to die from.
I mean, you've got to think about it, too. It's just one of the things. Like, they're under the thumb of these oppressive feudal lords. They're in constant danger of crime and, rape and robbery and all of this shit, just physical danger, all that. Because there's no real, I mean, there's constabularies, but all of that shit is corrupt and not reliable. There's no way to get a hold of them if you need them. So they live lives of, like, fear and degradation already.
Also, at this point, Europe was vastly overpopulated. I mean, there were actually, if we do talk about some of the benefits of the bubonic plague, there actually were some.
One of them is that it spread out the fucking cities and stopped people living on top of each other.
Well, actually, it had a massive economic impact as well, because serfs and people who basically, they're obviously, since there's so many people working fields, I mean, at this time, Europe had been very, I was obviously mainly agrarian based, and they had finally reached a point of people were abandoning fields. Like, most of the premium farmland was being farmed at that point.
Yeah.
The yields were not high enough. Actually, this wiped out enough peasants where actually the lot for peasants actually got better for a while.
Right.
And actually led to a lot of reforms later on down the line, because they actually had more power for those workers. Because imagine if you're a feudal lord or whatever and half your workforce is gone.
This was called the Thanos Principle.
Yeah, well, it's like half your workforce is gone. I mean, even the gentry and the people who had power, like, they can't make more people magically appear.
Perfectly balanced, as all things should be.
So, there's a quote from an Italian chronicler, and I want to thank, too, by the way, I wanted to do this at the top of this. I want to thank our friend Galen. He sent me a bunch of references last night, and I got a bunch of these cool quotes from the stuff he sent me. So,
No, you didn't.
It was all TJ. Yeah, whatever.
But anyway, this was from an Italian chronicler about 10 years after this outbreak. And he says, all the citizens did – he's talking about a small north Italian town here. All the citizens did little else except to carry dead bodies to be buried. At every church, they dug deep pits down to the water table, and thus those who were poor who died during the night were bundled up quickly and thrown into the pit. In the morning, when a large number of bodies were found in the pit, they took some earth and shoveled it down on top of them, and later others were placed on top of them, and then another layer of earth, just as one makes a lasagna with layers of pasta and cheese.
Yeah.
So
dead body pasta. Love
you got to understand, like, already tenuous social order. Already people are just under the thumb of oppressive health problems and oppressive regimes everywhere. Life is horrible and short and violent. And then this plague arrives and suddenly everybody's dying.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine how we would deal with that today. But imagine how we would deal with a pandemic like this today without the CDC, without the benefits of modern medical theory, without the benefits of having a police department and ambulances and hospitals and doctors who know about this shit. It was bedlam. The entire fabric of society basically fell apart in a lot of European villages and major cities. There were riots and vandalism. People dealt with this in very different ways. And I pulled some quotes here about some of the different ways that people philosophically at the time seemed to handle this big outbreak of death and horror. Some people thought that moderate living and the avoidance of all superfluity would preserve them from the epidemic. So they formed these small, like, monastic communities where they lived together apart from everybody else, and they only ate food that they grew and didn't go out into the world.
Just need to eat right and exercise. That'll take care of that plague right quick.
There was a pretty pervasive idea across all of medieval Europe that this was a punishment from God.
Right.
In fact, many people believed that it was the end times.
Yeah, like they're being judged and shit.
Right.
Jesus,
I mean,
is coming back. You
from
know.
The amount of education and understanding they would have had in the world, I mean, it's not hard to see why they'd have that viewpoint.
So these people would shut themselves up in their, you know, in their houses, and a lot of them, you know, survived, and a lot of them died as they tried to escape it. Other people thought just the opposite. They thought the cure for the plague was to drink and be merry and go about singing and amusing themselves, satisfying every appetite that they could, laughing and jesting at whatever happened. They put their words into practice. They spent day and night going from tavern to tavern, drinking immoderately, or they went into other people's houses doing only those things which pleased them.
So some people were like, eat right, eat healthy,
right,
live in monastery, and other people were like, fuck that, you know, hedonism, just do what you want.
Yeah, it's basically the pious. We have to just be in prayer. We have to get try to see if God will forgive us. Other people like, fuck that shit, party.
Cool.
So a lot of these people in the second group took advantage of the fact that many people's response to these plagues was to just run. They would just leave their cities. And by, you know, in doing so, inadvertently spread the plague wherever they went.
Right, because they're trying to outrun the plague,
right,
not realizing that they're just carrying it elsewhere.
What that meant was is that huge swaths of the countryside with hamlets in them were just empty. People would just leave their houses, their belongings, whatever they couldn't carry just got left.
Yeah, big ghost towns.
And so these big roving bands of people would go into these ghost towns and just fuck off in people's houses and have orgies and break windows and do whatever the fuck they wanted to do, you know? Well, they probably didn't have windows back then,
yeah,
but
I
you
know.
Get my drift.
I doubt many of them had windows.
You get my drift.
Yeah.
But all of them had one thing in common. They avoided the sick as much as possible. And that was probably the one smart thing that everybody did, although it created some pretty awful stuff. I got another quote here that said, one citizen avoided another. Hardly any neighbor troubled about others. Relatives never or hardly visited each other. Moreover, such terror was struck in the hearts of men and women by this calamity that brother abandoned brother, and the uncle his nephew, and the sister her brother, and very often the wife her husband. What is even worse and nearly incredible is that fathers and mothers would refuse to see and tend to their children as if they had not been theirs. So if somebody got sick in your family, it was not uncommon during this time for them to just be left in an empty house to die.
Get the fuck out.
In Milan and other places, people who were infected had their homes forcibly walled up by the citizenry, which would trap them inside to die along with anybody else who lived with them, whether they were sick or healthy. And food would sometimes be passed to those trapped inside using blankets lowered down on ropes through the chimney and shit. But other times the people were just left in the house and starved to death.
Yeah, you're dead anyway.
So, like I said, the social order, as tenuous as it was in the Middle Ages at this time, evaporated because of
this.
Right,
just what little they had just totally broke down completely.
And what happens? I'm just going to ask you, what do you think happens when there's a great calamity like this? Who pops up?
Who pops up? Like what?
Well, capitalists.
To blame?
We're not talking about blame yet.
The
snake oil salesman. You're talking about
the people come along and like, I got the cure.
The outbreak of plague, and there were six major outbreaks of plague, and we're only talking about this one first one, but all throughout the outbreak of plague, it gave birth to a bunch of quacks, a bunch of snake oil salesmen who all thought, you know, they'd make a quick shilling or two selling a bottle of fucking vinegar to people and telling them it would prevent them from getting this. And there was some pretty incredible quackery. I pulled a couple that I'll read, and then I pulled a whole list we can go through and look at some of the stupid shit that was supposed to prevent you from getting this. One of the things that I found is people would keep these things in their houses called stinks, which was basically just roadkill, an animal that you found that was dead. They'd hang it up in their house, and they believed that it would counteract poisonous air. So it was another thing like the plague doctors. Of course, oftentimes they just brought other disease and pestilence into their house with this, so it was definitely not something that worked. But they called them stinks. Oh, yeah, you got to put up your stinks, you know? Can you imagine? I went over to Jenny's house, and she doesn't have any stinks hanging up. The fuck's she thinking? She's trying to get the plague? You got any stinks hanging in your bedroom, TJ?
I stink enough on my own.
Oh, you're your own stink?
Yeah.
Just find some roadkill. Find like a dead raccoon. Just nail it to your wall. It'll keep you healthy and safe.
Keep you safe from the plague.
Here's an excerpt from a book called Edward IV's Plague Medicines. It's from 1480, so about 20 years after this plague. A medicine for the plague. Take an egg that is newly laid and make a hole in either end and blow out all that is within. So you have an empty eggshell. And then lay it to the fire and let it roast till it may be ground into a powder. But do not burn it. Then take a quantity of good treacle and mix it with chives and good ale. And then make the sick drink it for 3 evenings and 3 mornings. So
bam!
You roast up some eggshell. You throw it in some ale with some chives and some treacle, and that'll cure your buboes. Good. It'll cure all your buboes.
I mean, the perspective, though, is people have no idea what's causing this. They don't know why it's happening. And, I mean, someone tells you they have a cure. I mean, anyone that's that desperate is going to, yeah, we're also frozen. Is it? Cool. Damn, dude. Me and Paul are pretty good at keeping still.
Yeah.
You guys are like statues.
Red light.
Green light. Scotty, don't move. The bubonic plague can't get you if you don't move. Just stay totally still.
Stay still, guys. Stay still.
So these are 10 crazy cures. Spoiler, none of them worked.
Not all of these are going to be contemporary, but these are pretty fucking nuts.
Oh, they all work.
Some of them are from later outbreaks of the plague.
All right.
Aromatherapy. So we kind of talked about this before, the idea that balls of perfume or incense could keep away the poisonous air.
Oh, yeah. It'll keep it right away. Sweet-smelling flowers. That's like the pocket full of potions thing from the rhyme, you know?
Yep.
Ashes, ashes. We all fall down.
Religion.
Oh, the flagellates.
So in an even more religious world than today, it comes as no surprise that more people turn to religion. Some people believe that the dreaded disease was a punishment from
Gord.
And others thought that God was testing them. When the plague spread to the Middle East, Muslims were told to sit back and suck it up because it was God's will. Get out of here, Muslims. It was God's will. Not that the European response was any less extreme. Devout Catholics took to the highways and whipped themselves. So flagellants started around this time.
Yeah, like self-flagellation and shit. Like, sorry, God.
I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, God. Hey. Oh, God, spank my ass. Ah! Whoosh, whoosh.
Yep. So, yeah, religion, a pretty dumb cure for any medical ailment. Rotten treacle. Treacle, byproduct of sugar, would often be given to sick patients, as you heard in that earlier one. Unfortunately, it had to be at least 10 years old to be considered effective. The old, smelly, sticky substance was believed to combat not only the horrific effects of the disease, but also to rid the body of it for good. So, bullshit.
Good. No,
here's some rotten sugar juice.
Go to the next one, dude.
Rotten sugar, that'll keep it.
Yeah,
live in a sewer.
Number seven, live in a sewer. When people figured out that the Black Death was airborne, they began to visit or even live in foul-smelling sewers. It was thought that the sharp stench of rotting human waste would discourage the cleaner but disease-ridden air.
Why were they so convinced that scent was going to repel it.
Well, because they could tell, they could puzzle out that it was spreading through the air.
Yeah, people were probably coughing, and then someone else.
So they thought, but they didn't have any concept of microbiology.
Right. So, enough perfume. That's what's going to.
Right.
You know.
Well, also, when someone's dying and there's a lot of rot around, they're probably saying, oh, these villages in these places, they smell really bad. That's probably why. They
just thought that the stinks would keep out the bad air.
They're not making the right causal links. They're assuming it's rotten air that's causing
it. And really, as you can imagine, the people that did this probably either got the plague or something else.
Yeah, I mean, they're living in conditions. Yeah, they probably got cholera or something.
Down there with rats and all kinds of other horrible nonsense.
Generally, living in the sewer is not a good cure for any disease, you know?
Yep.
It's not usually.
Well, human, but it was in the Middle Ages, TJ.
Human waste is one of the worst things you can be around. I mean, really, from a disease standpoint.
I mean, they were right to separate themselves from other people, but they were wrong in going to the sewers to do it.
Yeah, let's go live in a fucking sewer, dude.
In the sewer.
What's next, CJ?
Let leeches.
Yep.
Leeches.
So this is like, and this just wasn't leeches. This was bloodletting in general was thought to be, you know, they would cut open.
And this was not just for the bubonic. They used this for a lot.
Well,
their
humors were out of balance, dude.
Right. And that's an even more ancient idea going back to like the ancient Greeks and Romans. They believed that the body was made up of a bunch of different humors, which was liquids in the body. And if they got out of balance, you had to drain one, you know, and blood was one of your humors. So they thought that by bloodletting, they were letting the infection out of the bloodstream. You know what I mean? But really all they were doing was weakening the sick, making them probably more susceptible to the disease that was ravaging their body.
A blade would be pushed into a vein and blood would be drained into a bowl. Without painkillers, this procedure would have been agony. So they're cutting open your veins, essentially. Mm-hmm. And with sanitation levels leaving much to be desired, gruesome infections were common. So then, you might die of infection.
So they would often cut open a vein on your ankle or, you know.
Your arm, yeah.
Or your armpit or shoulder, somewhere where they could just drain in. Oftentimes, they would drain blood out of your body at different points that they thought would help whatever ailed you. So if it was, if you had a stomach ailment, they might bloodlet near your stomach.
So basically, you had your immune system.
Right.
And then the meddling that's actually medical science did at the time, you could even call it that, you know, basically the quackery that passed for medical science at the time was usually worse.
Yep. And this was a good example of that. Eat a spoonful of crushed emeralds.
Emeralds?
What?
What are you, Sonic the Hedgehog? Stop it.
Another powder of crushed chaos emeralds. The precious stones hoarded by Dr. Robotnik would be ground down to a fine powder in a mortar and pestle, and then either mixed with a liquid and drunk like a potion, or mixed with food or in bread and eaten or swallowed on its own like a powder. This would have been terrible to eat, with a taste and texture vaguely resembling that of crushed glass. This didn't work either.
Shocking.
It's kind of interesting to talk about, though. A lot of the other outbreaks of plague, there was a marked increase in death amongst the poor.
Yeah.
But this first outbreak, not so much. It affected everybody. Poor people were dying of this shit. Fucking counts and countesses and local noblemen. And I mean, nobody was spared this shit. So this was obviously one of the remedies that some of the higher-ups tried, crushing up an emerald and eating it.
Yeah, I mean, most peasants probably were not, in the emerald market.
Dude, I wonder if Food God's golden wings would cure the buboes, dude.
Probably. It is pretty rich, you know.
So what else do we got here?
He was a good man.
What's next on the list?
Wash yourself with urine.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
And there's Paul right there, dude.
look at the skeptical look on my face.
It's like, I'm not sure.
Thou must bathe.
You, dude.
Thou must.
Yeah, it's me and Paul, dude.
Yeah, it's you going, forsooth, Paul Zigo, to treat thine buboes, pour this urine upon thine self. And I'm like, eh.
Dude, she does your apothecary.
Fuck that, man.
I have freshly prepared it myself.
I desire a second opinion. urine enjoyed a good reputation in medieval Europe, and this was one case which supply could happily meet demand. Victims of the Black Death would often be bathed in urine several times a day to relieve the symptoms. You got a bunch of sores and buboes all over you. Let's pour piss on it. That sounds great. Probably other people's piss, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't use the infected piss,
right?
The sickly.
Even more highly recommended was a glass of the stuff. Pee would be collected by non-infected members of the. So it's other people's piss, given to or sold to the diseased as naturally.
Oh, man, dude, people buying piss, dude.
Yummy piss.
Wow.
Dude, so By the way, I know it's unrelated, but I was able to fix your guys' camera, so I just want you to know.
Awesome, dude.
Everything is back in order.
Boobos, dude.
You know. Oh, wow. Shit, too?
Yeah, dude. You gotta take extraordinary measures.
Eat the poop.
They were like really desperate to fix this shit, dude.
Here's another solution the plague victims wouldn't have wanted to hear. The boobos.
That's some good shit.
Were cut open. So they would cut open the boobos and a paste was applied. The paste was made from a mixture of tree resins, flower roots, and poo. Doctors loved the stuff. Unfortunately for the weak stomach, the smelly paste was pushed inside of their open wounds, which would then be tightly wrapped to keep the disgusting concoction inside, which you can probably imagine led to horrible infections.
Oh my god! Dude, you were better off just fucking just trying to survive it, man.
Humanity is dumb.
Let me shove shit into your wound!
When I saw this, I thought they were just rubbing it on him, like with the piss, but no, with the shit, they cut open their bodies and stuffed it inside.
Yeah. They cut open a fucking sore. They shove tree resin, flower roots, and shit in them. And then seal it up so it's like all these foreign bodies in your body, and you've cut it open so your skin isn't even protecting you anymore. Oh my god.
That'll be 18 shillings.
Rub your wounds with a live chicken. Just like Yahoo Answers, the Middle Ages had plenty of crazy people offering up insane advice. You don't say. Far and away, one of the most bizarre was the Vickery method, named after Thomas Vickery, an English doctor who invented the technique. People would shave a hen's butt and strap it to their swollen lymph nodes while the chicken was still alive. Then when the chicken got sick, they would wash it and repeat the process until only the chicken or the victim was healthy. It was like transferring the sickness to the chicken, basically.
Come on, make the chicken sick.
Vickery's technique spread far and wide, with crazy people everywhere turning themselves into the hosts of plague-ridden chicken parasites. This Vickery guy was so popular that to this very day, a special lecture is held annually in his honor by the Royal College of Surgeons in England. But then again, science is a religion after all, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. In this case, I think so.
And, kill the Jews! Well,
this is a good place to segue, because, gentlemen, we've held off to this point.
The only, the oldest the fucking solution.
Jews.
We're all out of answers. We have no idea what's going on. You know what we need to do? Fucking blame the Jews, and then we gotta kill them.
Guys, you know what I think done it? The Jews.
The Jews done it.
The Jews.
Dude, so we're you know what? When people blame the Jews, they're not even really being that inventive, man. They're doing this shit like 800 or 900 years ago.
We don't do this anymore. We got over this stupid backwards thinking long ago. Nobody's blaming the Jews for all of society's
mess anymore. Yeah, you're right. Sure.
So, to nobody's surprise, in medieval England, about a year after this outbreak started and really started to pick up, people were looking for a scapegoat other than God. You know, they were, you know, saying it was just God's judgment. That implies that they have something to do with it. And nobody likes being to blame for their own problems, right?
Well, plus, you know, you're supposed to turn to God. So it's like the church by also didn't like, well, that everyone's rallying. Why is God doing this? It's not God. Someone else must have done it.
So everybody's got, you know, everybody's looking for a scapegoat. And luckily, in 14th century medieval Europe, they already had one.
They ain't hard to find.
They were named the Jews. The Jews were blamed, and one of the interesting things about this was they were blamed in large part due to the fact that everybody hated the Jews already at this point. There's one of them now.
An actual picture of a
medieval Jewish peasant.
Yeah, that survived, of course.
As the angry mob beats down his ghetto door. The Jews, in a lot of places, were less susceptible to the plague, and people thought that this was evidence that they were sneaking out at night and poisoning the wells with horrible, virulent things that were causing the plague. In actuality, as historians understand it, the reason that some Jewish communities seemed immune was probably because of two things. Number one, they were ghettoized already, meaning that they had already been forced to the margins of society. They were living apart from people already. So thus, they weren't mingling with all the stupid boobo-having idiots that were packing their fucking sores filled with shit and rubbing piss all over themselves.
The Jews were actually protected a bit by the racism against them.
Yep. And on top of that, They also had rituals, and still do, that made them more cleanly than your average medieval peasant. Whereas everybody else was rubbing shit and piss on their wounds, the Jews actually washed their hands before dinner and shit.
Okay. Yeah.
My mic is too loud. Paul is quiet.
Yeah. You were well. Paul's not quiet. I can see Paul's right here. On
well,
the board.
Somebody that's watching saying it. So,
but I mean, I'm looking at the board. I mean, I could see where your volume is going to. I could see it on the exit as well. But you were a little loud. But it's because you were so quiet earlier that I had to keep adjusting you up.
Gotta keep adjusting, TJ. Right. Pay the fuck attention, TJ.
See, like right now, when you yelled just now, you went into the red. So
pay the fuck attention, TJ. What's wrong with you?
But that's because earlier when you were talking
what
so soft
fuck
that
is
you were barely
you,
fucking
TJ?
Registering on
what
the board.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
So I'm trying to adjust it to where everyone's
you know
just
what,
reaching
TJ?
The orange when they talk.
Obviously, our fucking family survived the goddamn Black Death, but maybe you fucking shouldn't have. You can't even fucking run a goddamn soundboard right.
Well, you know what happened?
You
want me
to come over there and fucking smack the shit out you?
What happened is my fucking computer decided to update, and it fucked all my settings up. So I've just been kind of like...
I think you updated the computer.
Adjusting shit throughout the
TJ,
show.
Your computer's an inanimate object. So therefore, TJ, it didn't do it on its own. You did it.
See, like, even now, you were hitting the red when you were yelling, but when you were just talking...
you can't even adjust it properly.
I mean, I can't adjust it for you because you fucking vary in volume so much more than anyone
TJ,
else here.
TJ, so that no one else in the history... A fucking podcast has had a variable volume.
Because you
volume.
Go from practically goddamn whispering to screaming at the top of your
no,
fucking lungs.
No, I don't. That is a lie.
I mean, like, look.
That is a bald-faced lie,
no
sir.
There's no fucking good level
that is a
you.
Lie, sir.
Because you fucking...
You're a fucking liar.
When you talk normal,
I'm
you're
calling
just fucking,
you out as a
you
liar,
barely
TJ.
Register on the fucking thing, and then
you
start screaming,
register.
And you're into the fucking red.
You barely register
do.
As a fucking sane human being.
All right, whatever. You suck. You're fucking garbage. That's all I have to say about
yeah,
you.
Just go ahead and throw some more insults out there, TJ.
But
all your fucking good.
Everyone for. Looks fine right now.
All
right.
So we're fine.
We're fine,
we'll
TJ.
We'll forge ahead.
Yes.
It's fine.
So, about a year after the plague came to Europe, the massacres started. The first one happened
oh
in April 1348 in Toulon, France, where the Jewish quarter was sacked, and 40 Jews were murdered in their homes. That was a pretty small number in comparison to what was coming. The next year, in 1349, massacres and persecution had spread across Europe, and including the Erfurt Massacre, the Basel Massacre, massacres in Aragon and Flanders. 2,000 Jews were burnt alive on the 14th of February, 1349, in the Valentine's Day Strasbourg Massacre, where the plague had not even yet affected the city. So Strasbourg was like, you know what? The plague ain't come here yet. We're not letting the Jews poison us. And they burned 2,000 of them alive in one day.
Well, I mean, like,
here's another one. Here's another guy upon hearing that the Strasbourg people were coming to round up the Jews.
Looks joyful.
He was pretty happy about
well,
it.
Well, he got out the night before. So
he's like, ah,
I
escaped.
I knew it was right to leave Strasbourg. Oh,
what's so funny about this is, I mean, obviously it was totally ineffectual.
Of course.
But it's just the very fact that, like, it's just punitive. It's like, you're not suffering, so now we have to make you suffer because you must be behind this.
Well, I mean, like, how many times throughout history have people been like, you know who I think done it?
This other group done it.
The Jews. I mean, the Jews.
I mean, the Jews have been blamed,
you know?
Probably more than any single other singular group, but... I mean, you can see this in so many other cultures, though. It's just this other group, this small minority group, is the one that's causing all these problems. And if it wasn't for them, everything would just be just fine. Hunky-dory, no problems, no disease. It's obviously the Jews.
Of course.
Or whatever fucking group. It's just the same bullshit wherever you go.
So, yeah, this went on all throughout the plague and even a little bit after it. By 1351, there had been 350 anti-Jewish pogroms and 60 major and 150 minor Jewish communities had been exterminated. All in all, there were 510 Jewish communities destroyed during the period of the Black Death. So people just literally would go into the Jewish part of town, kill everybody in it, take all their shit, and think that that was going to protect them.
Yeah, so basically another obviously chance for profiteering as well. It's, I mean, it just harkens back to what the Nazis did, and then you just go back. It's just like a template in Europe of like, well, let's go kill a bunch of Jews, take all their shit, and then maybe the problem will be solved.
So these massacres and persecutions, which continued throughout all of the outbreaks of the plague, caused most of Europe's Jews to move east.
I wonder why.
And they moved into Poland and what is now Poland and Russia and shit. And that's where they stayed for a very long time until a part of history that we'll talk about maybe some other time. But, you know, at least we've learned the error of our ways now, folks. We know that the Jews are not to blame for anything. You know, nobody's running around saying that they're causing all the fucking horrors and terrors and pestilences
in the world.
Yep. We've learned.
Run Hollywood, run the banking industry, just run everything, secretly control the world. Golems living in their fucking banks, you know.
Yeah, living in their caves with their hoard of goblin gold, you know, protecting their precious.
No one says this anymore.
Yeah, we had it all figured out back in the medieval ages, folks.
Xenophobia, the belief that because someone's different means they're evil and out to destroy your life. Yeah, those are all things of a past now.
So that leads us to the death toll. And this is a hotly contested issue amongst people. I'll read to you something I pulled here. A detailed study of the mortality data available points to two conspicuous features in relation to the mortality caused by the Black Death, namely the extreme level of mortality caused by the Black Death and the remarkable similarity or consistency of the level of mortality from Spain and Southern Europe to England and Northwest Europe. The data is sufficiently widespread and numerous to make it likely that the Black Death swept away around 60% of Europe's population. It's generally assumed that the size of Europe's population at the time was somewhere around 80 million. This implies that around 50 million people or so died in the Black Death. It's a staggering statistic, and it overshadows the Second World War, and it's twice the number murdered by Stalin's regime in the Soviet Union. As a proportion of the population that lost their lives, the Black Death caused absolutely unrivaled mortality. And still to this day, even with the big flu outbreaks and stuff, this initial outbreak of the Black Death, as it existed in Europe and Asia and the Middle East and North Africa at the time, is still the single most destructive outbreak.
It actually took Europe 3 centuries. It wasn't until the 17th century they actually surpassed the population pre the bubonic plague.
And a lot of that was because it kept coming back. Like I said, over the next 180 years or so, the plague came back another 5 times. And not ever this big, but it came back and just decimated whole village. So it just, I mean, this went on and on and on generationally.
Well, you can actually look at, I mean, it changed the human genome and DNA. I mean, there's actually markers you can look that when they study people's DNA that they can look at. I forget what it's called, but I was reading about it, how they can actually go back and look when your ancestry, the mutation, like pre and post mutation.
Yep.
That there was a mutation that enabled some people to actually survive when they would either get it or encounter the bubonic plague.
Yep. So if you can just imagine, like, and a lot of people contest those numbers.
Sure.
They say that 60% is a little high. They say some people say it's as low as 30%. The truth probably lies somewhere in between the extremes. It was probably somewhere around half the people in
I mean, there wasn't modern record keeping, so no one really knows how many people died. But
I think it wiped out 100%.
I mean, it was so devastating.
Well, clearly it didn't.
I mean, it's so devastating that you know, I mean, people know about it to this day. Like, this isn't some information or some disease you have to go looking for. Like, you're going to hear about this in your life. Like, I heard about it when I was a kid. Like, it was this thing that happened in Europe and a bunch of people died. And, like, it's kind of crazy. And it's like, well, I mean, I didn't really know much about the actual the details of the disease before this episode. But, I mean, I still was aware of it. You know what I mean? It still has a cultural impact even to this day.
Yep. So that's our look kind of at the basics of the Black Death. We got a little bit more to cover. One of the things that was widely believed and still to this day is still widely believed to be responsible for the Black Death is rats. Rats, specifically black rats.
I mean, you even have modern rock bands like Ghost.
Right.
Spreading what may be heresy, but maybe actually not even be the true cause of the bubonic plague.
Rats.
Basically the mechanism which spread the bubonic plague.
Right.
Be
so
precise.
And it's still, you know, believed by a lot of scientists that rats are to blame for this. Not necessarily the rats, but the fleas that feed on rats, that travel everywhere rats go.
I'm sure they made the argument that the rats were on ships, and obviously there was trade throughout these urban centers, and
right.
then the disease would just spread when the fleas would go and jump off other people and bite people. Then they would start spreading the disease and so on and so forth.
But as I was looking into this, I found a very recent study that was published that calls into question rats' culpability at all in the Black Plague. Says it was caused by humans, not rats.
Scandal,
heresy. So computer modeling reveals human fleas and bodily lice are most likely the vector of devastating first outbreak of the plague.
Cool.
So for centuries, black rats have borne the brunt of the blame for the spread of the Black Death, which killed 25 million people.
I just posted something on my Twitter, yesterday or the day before about how rats cause the plague, and then you fucking do this research and make my tweet fucking look
God,
stupid.
Fucking stupid.
And that
TJ.
Tweet is aged horribly, TJ.
Ugh, aged horribly.
So they have a lower estimate here. It says 25 million people across. Well, that's just Europe. They're not even taking Asia into account there. So 25 million people in Europe during the first deadly pandemic in the mid 14th century. The plague was thought to have been largely transmitted by infected fleas living on rats, which would then bite humans. In total, it's thought that the disease killed between 75 and 200 million people. But has Rattus been unfairly accused of transferring the deadly bacteria? Rattus.
Rattus von Stratus.
That's got to be the best, Latin species name ever, right? Rattus.
Yeah.
It's way better than us. We got Homo sapiens. That sucks.
Homo sapiens sapiens.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Computer modeling carried out by a research team from the universities of Oslo and Ferrara suggests that the first outbreak may not have been drawn down to the rats, but instead can be largely ascribed to human fleas and bodily lice. Using mortality data from the 9 outbreaks of the plague in Europe between the 14th and 19th centuries, so there were 9. I've been saying there were 6. There were actually 9 in total.
Yeah, stupid.
Stupid ass Paul. The researchers
do
plotted...
Do your research better, you fat fucking retard.
The researchers plotted how the disease would have likely spread by different means. Seven out of the 9 models indicated that transmission by human fleas and lice was the most likely cause of the disease's spread when compared to transfer by rat fleas or airborne transmission. So, you know, we won't read the whole fucking thing, but...
But rats were not to blame.
Some information saying that our friend the rat, the humble rat that has ever
rat.
Only hoped to clean up our messes and eat our crumbs and keep our houses tidy and neat.
that's the function of rats in our society.
Long they've been seen as vectors of the plague, called plague rats even.
Yeah, that's
plague
true.
Rats, Scotty.
Blamed.
Referred to as plague rats. How would you feel if rats called us plague humans?
I feel bad.
I'd be offended.
Feel bad, dude.
And do you know,
I'd be shocked and
offended.
Did
you know that rats themselves can also get bubonic plague? That's right.
Wow.
They die just like we do. They suffer just like we do. They were our brothers in this outbreak, and we blamed them.
Wow.
We blamed them. The massacre that happened of the Jews in response to this was misplaced, and it was horrible. Think of the amount of rats chased out of their homes, beheaded, exterminated in mass over
every
this
year.
For nothing.
What
still to this day.
This day, the genocide of rats has not been really covered. It's one of those things that the media ignores.
Always blathering on about the human holocaust. What about the rat holocaust?
I mean, TJ, didn't you actually participate in this? Didn't you pay someone to come to this house and poison rats?
I did. Because I was afraid of getting the bubonic plague.
You know what,
but
TJ?
Now I realize my ignorance.
You're not fucking part of the fucking solution, TJ. You're part of the problem.
Maybe. Maybe,
there's
dude.
No maybe about it, bitch.
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 So here's 10 things you didn't know about the plague, and some of them is stuff we've talked about.
I knew that now.
The Black Death did not eradicate a third of the world's population. Open almost any textbook on Western civilization, it'll claim the Black Death felled one third of Europe's population. In fact, in some places, such as a village on an estate in Cambridgeshire, manorial rolls attest that 70% of its tenants died in a matter of months in 1349. And the city of Florence tax records drawn up shortly before and after the Black Death suggest that its toll may have been about the same in 1348. Yet the plague skipped over or barely touched other villages, even within Cambridgeshire, and may not have infected at all vast regions such as ones in northern German-speaking lands. Given the state of record-keeping and preservation, we will probably never know. We'll probably never know the exact death toll.
So they're kind of full of shit when they say that it didn't wipe out a third of the population, because they have no idea.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're saying.
The Black Death was not a disease. Yeah, we already read that. Black Death was not a disease. Well, yeah.
We talked about that as well.
We talked about that one. Let's see if there's anything we didn't. The Black Death was not a disease only in... I don't know if we specifically talked about that, but that's good to know. Not only affecting large cities, but also infected small towns and villages.
Well, like Paul said, people would go to the countryside. They would go try to isolate themselves. And obviously, they'd be carriers of the disease, and there'd be people that were already infected with the disease.
The Black Death did not afflict all major European cities and towns on principal trade routes. For reasons that are difficult to explain, cities such as Milan and
Douai
in Flanders, both major hubs of commerce and industry, appear to have escaped the Black Death in 1348 almost totally unscathed. In the case of Milan, only one household fell victim to the disease, at least according to chronicles, and the plague was successfully contained. Interesting. The Black Death did not result everywhere in the massacre of Jews or the blaming of other minorities. Well, yeah, I mean...
Not everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, this is just... a lot of these are basically, like, not everywhere had the same plague, and not everyone had the same reaction.
I pulled, like, a fucking insanely long list of, like, massacres that happened during this time. So, sure, it wasn't in every fucking city, but pretty massive amount of people were killed for no reason.
I kind of talked about this.
The first quarantine was not invented in Venice. Rather, it was a Trentine first legislated in Ragusa. Interesting. All human attempts to end the plague in Europe were not in vain. Okay, let's hear this. Cities that managed to keep plague beyond their borders were those that devised and implemented quarantine. Border controls at city gates, harbors, and mountain paths. Okay, so quarantine works, obviously.
Yep.
Better than rubbing shit in your fucking...
Yeah.
Open wounds, that's for sure.
Shocking.
Despite the thousands who sacrificed their lives assisting spiritually or physically the afflicted during the Black Death, the church awarded none of them with blessed or saintly statuses.
Well, yeah, they were dirty.
Yeah, nasty.
They might have buboes. We don't want any buboes in the fucking sainthood.
The Black Death traveled 30 to 100 times faster over land than the bubonic plague of the 20th century.
So, yeah, the Black Death is not exactly the same as it is now.
I mean, yeah, there's been evolution.
This outbreak of it was just unprecedented and killed quicker and traveled quicker than any other version of it that we've been able to study. But, yeah, it traveled insanely fast over land. Just a crazy fucking disease, dude. Almost ended us. It was almost the end.
This is the end, beautiful friend, the end.
You can flick through a few more of those pictures if you want, man. There's some really
cool art.
See,
Paul, you don't need the nukes to end it all. Maybe you just need a disease.
Yeah, so bring on the Black Death.
I do have some pictures. I think this is one of the Jew killings.
No, this is just a representation of the war and famine and bullshit that followed. You know, like it shows a little bit of everything. You got the rider on the pale horse. His name is Death. You've got the war and famine in the background. You got the piles of bodies, the wrapped bodies of plague victims, people dying, horses dying.
You know what I see, though, standing firm, though? See that church, dude.
Yeah, the church.
Everything the else church. Has fallen to calamity, but the church.
The church members.
They're standing strong still. Interesting.
I don't know what they're feeding this guy, but it's probably donkey shit or something.
Piss, probably.
Eat your trickle.
We already saw that guy. There's this dude getting eaten by dogs.
Now, this one I actually looked up, and it's actually not a plague victim. This is a biblical painting from Revelation, when it talks about the biblical plague. And the dog, you know what I mean. But a lot of this came out of the same time as the plague happened, and is thought to be referential to that. But this is actually referencing.
It's not meant to depict.
It's not a bubonic plague victim.
But it was painted around the time that the bubonic plague was
a little after.
You know. Okay, so yeah. So probably inspired by it.
Yep.
We already talked about the plague doctors, who have an awesome costume.
They really do.
I don't know what the hell's happening here.
If you look in the background, a corpse is being carried away on, and there's a cart.
Yeah, there's a sobbing woman.
So are they doing burning all his clothes or something?
Right. So these are people, yeah, burning their clothes. There's a town crier there. This is probably an evacuation scene. You can see the mother and the children sitting on a what looks like a travel trunk.
Yeah. So they're like, we gotta get the fuck up out of here.
Yeah. So these are people. This is the city is dying. People are leaving it en masse. They're just death and bodies everywhere. A lot of people have had, like, you can probably assume that woman sitting there lost a husband. That might be her husband being carried away there. And she's got her kids, and it's like, I don't know where the fuck I'm going.
And here's just a plague victim.
Yep. Just somebody with sores all over them.
Yeah, fucking distended belly, fucking rotting.
This looks fun. We already talked about this and that.
Yep.
And we talked about this guy.
Yep.
But we haven't talked enough about this guy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'll just see what's left over in the stores here, see if we want to talk about anything else. Here's map.
If you look at the file I had, there's actually a GIF of the spread of the plague.
Yeah, I think that's in here somewhere. I don't know. What's this, Paul? Is this them burning people?
Yeah. So this is them. The bodies were burned often. So this is them just burning a bunch of plague-ridden corpses.
I mean, these people look alive. They're kind of just standing around like, I'm suffering. But okay. 60-second guide. I think we've already gone through already those general shit. Oh, I need to get... Nope, not doing that. Fuck you. All right, so here's the plague spread map that Scotty pulled up. This is more of like an interactive GIF one that shows the steady spread.
Oh, shit.
It's coming.
An interesting point about Russia is that even though it was way closer to where plague is thought to have originated in Mongolia and the steppes, it was one of the last big areas to get infected. And it was actually infected not from the east or the south where the plague started once again, but from the west. So it was actually trade with Europe that fucked over... Russia. They were also spared too because the first outbreak that happened in Russia happened during right at the beginning of a winter. So the winter killed off the plague and it didn't break out again until the next year. But it devastated fucking Russia just like everywhere else.
Black Death skeletons reveal pitiful life of 14th century Londoners. The 25 skeletons unearthed in Clerkenwell area of London a year ago may hold the key to the truth about the nature of the Black Death that ravaged Britain and Europe in the mid-14th century. Channel 4 documentary on Sunday will claim that analysis of the bodies and wills registered in London at the time cast doubts on facts that every school child has learned for decades, that the epidemic was caused by a highly contagious strain spread by fleas on rats. Evidence taken from the human remains found in Charterhouse Square to the north of the city of London during excavation carried out as part of the construction of the Crossrail train line may support a theory held by some scientists that only an airborne infection could have spread so fast and killed so quickly. Well, I mean, we kind of already got into that stuff.
Sure.
But, I don't know. It's just like another, like, it wasn't really the rats. Like, there's a lot of articles exonerating the rats now. Here's the upside of the Black Death, which Scotty kind of discussed earlier, so.
Yeah,
we already looked at this one.
What was some of the upsides?
Greater social mobility.
I mean, you know, just the Thanos thing, you know? It's like resources are spread thin, kill half the population. Yeah. Resources ain't spread so thin no more.
I mean, the Renaissance did follow on the heels of these outbreaks, so.
Yeah, without the Black Plague, maybe the Renaissance wouldn't have happened, you know?
Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
It's just an interesting pivotal event. And I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously there were upsides. I mean, think about this. You're in competition for a very limited area of land, and suddenly if you survive or your family survives or you're born, you have a huge advantage because all these other people who are competing for all these same resources, all these same jobs, the demand, you know, the cost of labor being what it was. You know, it suddenly goes from that to they need laborers, they need people. So
right. Now you've got the upper hand.
Yeah, now you have bargaining power. I mean, obviously, of course, that population eventually built back up in some areas. Some areas weren't as affected, so that wasn't the case. But it did lead to a lot of social mobility, at least for a time period after the plague. And I mean, after the major outbreaks.
It's just interesting to think about, because if you've got any kind of European ancestry or Asian ancestry or Middle Eastern ancestry or North African ancestry, your ancestors that were alive during this time, like, think about the craziness that they lived through. Some of them might even have gotten the buboes and just won the fucking coin flip.
They won the battle.
You know what I mean? So you might have plague victims, you know what I mean? People that almost died from this shit, that had they died, your ass wouldn't be here. And think about how lucky you are. 50% of humanity might have died during this, according to some estimates. Maybe even more. Upwards of 60% of all human beings and all, you know, there were some areas that weren't touched by this, obviously, primitive societies and shit. But we're talking about, like, the vast majority of human beings on the society, gone. Half of them just gone. How lucky are you to be lazing around eating fucking glazed donuts and shit?
Hell yeah, motherfucker.
You had some pretty badass relatives, dude. No matter who you are and how fat and lazy and worthless you are to society, dude, you had some hard scrabble ass relatives,
well,
dude.
Maybe they were just in Milan where it didn't even fuck with nobody.
Doubtful.
You know?
Even if some of your relatives came from Milan, you probably had others in other places that were ravaged by this shit. Nobody was untouched by this.
Yeah, it's probably not a family line that doesn't have some plague in it somewhere.
No, anyway, definitely not.
That's the Black Death. Obviously, more could be said, but I think that's a nice little general overview. So, for some reason, the chat is arguing about how to pronounce GIF or JIF, depending on whatever. For some reason, it is a question
that plagues.
Dude, let me just end this for them right now. The answer is you're all retarded.
Yes, that's the answer. All right, thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you Wednesday with Patreon. Flash Fried.
Check out the Patreon. Come see us in LA.
Come do shit.
Check out all the links.
Do everything.
All the links down below.
But guess what? Don't get the Black Death. Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Don't do it. Listen to White Guilt.
Stay away from the rats. The rats done it.
Yeah.